This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, welcome and thanks for tuning into the Premier Aftermarket Podcast. I'm Carm Capriotto, and we are on episode 630, featuring the ASE Education Foundation. Now, many of us support education at the high school and college level, giving of our time, guidance, and advice to advisory boards. Now, if you're not on an advisory panel, I highly recommend getting involved. There's not enough independent voices on advisory boards. Now, this is an important show we have for you here, where you're going to learn the role of the ASE Education Foundation in our schools, and who's the biggest poachers of our technician talent. Find the key talking points for this episode at remarkableresults.biz/E630. Hey, a shout out to our sponsors, Apex and Shopware. Now, imagine being able to see new product, tools and equipment, and demos in a simulated real-world shop environment, complete with 8 service bays, lifts, vehicles, and a service counter area. Well, it's set to launch at Apex 2021, November 2nd through the 4th in Las Vegas. I hope to see you there. Visit AAPEXShow.com for the details. Hey, when was the last time you ordered something online? A burger from Grubhub, your groceries from Amazon? Well, how about things that are really high-tech, like auto repair? Well, Shopware's online interactive repair orders let your customers do just that. Check it out for yourself on the web at GetShopware.com. Hey, what's our schedule like here on Remarkable Results Radio? Well, you know, every Tuesday and Friday, you get a new podcast episode. On Tuesdays at noon Eastern, we do a live virtual shop tour, Aftermarket Weekly, and Fridays at noon Eastern Time, we've got a live panel discussion on the Town Hall Academy. If you can't catch us live, don't worry. We always repurpose the live broadcasts as podcasts, too. So, therefore, you never miss out on the education. Hey, follow us for free on your favorite podcast listening app. Search for Remarkable Results Radio. Hey, welcome everyone. Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio from the Remarkable Results Radio podcast studio. I am with an incredible panel here, and this is something I've always wanted to do, Mike. I've always wanted to have the ASE Education Foundation discussion. And of course, to have Mike Coley, the ASE Educational Foundation president, with us. We're also with Mike Godson, professor at Clark College in Vancouver, Washington.
Hello, everybody. Glad to be here.
Hello, Mike. I'm glad you're here. Brian LaCroix is with us, instructor of the Board of Cooperative Educational Services, BOCES. Carm, how did you know what those acronyms were about? Well, I'm from New York, just like you are. BOCES is a great program for teaching skill trades to high schools, and that's in Albany, New York. Glad you're here, man. Trish Arratore is with us, Senior VP of Communications at ASE. So we've got a well-rounded panel. One of the things that you mentioned in your talking points to me was, do our students really know what the real world is out there? And I would love to find out from Mike and Brian, are you as instructors bringing in enough independent shop owners to sit in front of your class and tell them what the real world is, so that they, when they come out, they're semi-prepared, not from I've done brake jobs and all this stuff, but from how you get along with people and all that soft skills stuff to integrate themselves into a business. I think we have a great opportunity today to talk about all kinds of things, getting involved, understanding the real world, and what the world of independence, who is my main audience, can do to further education and bring in some great people, because we need some really good. Trish, I think you and I were talking. What do we graduate about 30,000 a year?
Minimally, and that's just from the accredited program. So there's probably more coming from everybody else.
So basically, we need you all to do your part. Mike Coley, why don't you start us off and tell us what your role in the ASE Education Foundation is and why you brought on Mike and Brian.
Most people know ASE from testing and certifying the technicians that are already in the trade. And the Education Foundation focuses on folks at the very beginning of their career, those entry-level students, both at high school and primarily in the community college programs, that are looking for a career to get into automotive, or maybe they're just exploring and they don't know what they want to do with their life just yet. And so we really try to try to help the schools. And really, Mike and Brian and our other 5,000 instructors out there, they're the ones that do all the heavy lifting. We're just back, you know, back at the office trying to do what we can to help. But primarily what we want to do is help them to develop the skills that are important to the employers in their local community so that they can get a job and they know how to do a brake job and they know how to do an alignment and they know how to do the things that the boss expects them to be able to do when they get there and how to do it right. And just what you said, how to get along with people, how to get along with your coworkers, how to get along with your supervisors, how to respect customers' vehicle, those sorts of practical job skills that have nothing to do with turning a wrench. We also want the students to, you know, if they're doing career exploration and they don't know exactly what they want to do yet, this is a great career. You can make good money. You don't need to have a ton of four-year college debt to do it. So we need to get the word out and entice more students to get involved. But we also need them to have a realistic view of what it's like in the industry because we don't want them to come into the industry and then 2 years later they're gone and they're working in HVAC or welding or flipping hamburgers.
That was one of the biggest surprises that I had when I joined the advisory council of our local two-year school a few years back. And the surveys that came back that said after 2 years, a high degree of grads that went into a dealership role were doing Department of Transportation, diesel, welding, HVAC, to your point. Mike and Brian, do you hear that a lot?
Absolutely, Carm. We have a lot of other industry partners, non-transportation related, that are poaching our students because of the way we train them and their transferable skills that they have. So a different kind of job, different type of job that maybe they can attract them away from a dealership or from the day-to-day life in a repair shop.
He just said the greatest word in the world, and I've used it in the past on the show, poaching. And could this be the stop poaching episode, I'm wondering? You know, Half Toolbox will travel. Wait a minute, there's a 401k, there's a shoe allowance, there's all this other really cool stuff there. I've gone through 2 years, I've graduated with an AOS or an AAS, something like that, and I'm attractive to people that need someone with a skilled trade. Mike, do you see that?
Oh, most definitely. It always disheartens me to go around and hear stories from other students that have been poached by other industries. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that we can work on together, both industry and educators, as to how to slow the process of that student loss that we end up with.
And we need your help. And that's my listener that I'm speaking to. I interviewed Carl Hutchinson 2 weeks ago, and we got into this topic and we got into the real world thing. And he was telling me, as he's a member of an advisory board, going in to speak to the students and telling them the real world story. I think the more we tell the real world story and the power and the value that, hey, we've got some unbelievable independence today, growing big, beautiful, great cultures, caring for their people. Are we being looked at? Are they getting involved enough with, you know, with post-secondary, even high school, and bring them in? And then it drives me to this whole point, and I'm sorry we're covering a million things, guys, but I'm so wrapped up in the reason you guys are here, in the whole apprentice thing. I mean, why not take a high school person who maybe doesn't, like you said, Mike, doesn't want to go and have that, you know, huge college debt, and bring him inside and start an apprentice program with him? Not that I don't want him to go to your colleges, guys. It's a viable option.
Apprenticeship, it has a work-based learning component and an education component. So an apprenticeship doesn't mean that you're not going to go to the post-secondary program. They could be integrated with both the high school program and the post-secondary program. But the key to it is that you're earning while you learn. So, you know, the debt becomes hopefully minimal. But moreover, you're progressing in the, you know, while you're doing your classroom work, you're also coming in, you know, and the shop owner should have a good understanding that this is a person with minimal understanding, but minimal amount of hands-on. And so we're not going to expect them to know how to do everything the first day. And in fact, they should have a mentor that they're working alongside who's monitoring them, coaching them, helping them understand, don't forget this, don't forget that, make sure you do this. And by the way, wear your safety glasses. They start to grow in the culture of the shop. And, you know, it could be, and to me, it's the best way for a student to come away with a real understanding of what does it really mean to have this as a career, which, you know, I mean, we were all 17, 18 year old kids. Hey, look at this. Cool. I got to do something fun and got a paycheck. Well, you know, and so that's your attitude, maybe starting out, and you got to grow from there.
You know, I have to say, I love the growing metaphor. That's really what we do. We take young people and we sort of start them from a seed and grow them into a seedling. Maybe we get them up to a sapling and then they go off into the industry. Well, they're not a fully a matured plant yet. They're not a fully grown tree. They need care. They need feeding. You want them to take root, right? So they're not going to take off. And they're an investment. And that's really, I think, what businesses need to think about when they're looking mm-hmm. for employees, is they're making an investment in a person, a particularly young person coming out of a training program. They're not just getting an employee that's going to, you know, check the boxes for them and do the work that they need to have done.
We see a lot of business partners, they're looking for, you know, I need five of your best students right away. You know, they've gotten to a point with, you know, retirements and, you know, they've got themselves in a hole. They need all these technicians. Well, they've got it. You know, a lot of it is the foresight to nurture that sapling and start, you know, growing your staff, maintaining your culture for years to come and not just putting, you know, Band-Aid, looking for that Band-Aid for the quick fix.
I love the metaphor here on the sapling and plant it and take care of it and water it. And one day you'll have a mighty oak. And I guess if you don't start, you don't get involved, you don't go to the school, you don't speak to the student, you don't say to the local high school or college, what equipments do you need? What can we do to help? You know, we do a lot in the community. This is community. I hate to say it's selfish reasons, but... Hi, I need five techs right away, Brian. And I know what Brian would say. So when's the last time you planted one of them seeds?
Well, that's it. If the businessman, the shop owner, isn't involved in the school, then shame on him. The other shop's going to take advantage and get the good students, have the relationship with the instructor, you know, be able to say, well, okay, Jimmy's a little young right now. Let's give him another 6 months in the classroom and then we'll bring him in. You know, so all those things happen when the business owner and the shop owner gets involved in the school. And Brian and Mike tell me, it doesn't take a lot of time, right? A couple meetings a year, you know, maybe a classroom visit here and there.
That's it, Trish. You know, just being available, you know, for the students, you know, for the school, for the program is huge. Being able to give your input of what needs in your local industry are. You know, a lot of what we're seeing also is, you know, students who don't have driver's licenses yet. And that's kind of a, you know, the hot button topic with, oh, you got to be 18 and, you know, insurance and this and that. Well, more and more students are showing up with payments on nice cars, and we've got my first car and I've got a $200 a month payment, and so I need to work at Subway, I need to work at Dunkin' Donuts because I can get the hours, I can work nights and weekends. So we kind of get lost in this cycle where, you know, it takes a lot of effort, a team approach. You know, it takes the whole village to raise the technician, for sure.
So we need advocates from the business world. And for sure, the dealership network are very strong advocates because they have a huge need for people. But as in my local school, there are very few independents involved. Doesn't make me happy to see that. And there are some districts around the country, it seems like every time I do an interview with a shop owner, I kind of ask, are you involved in education? And some of them, it's the reverse. There's more independents in there than there are dealerships. But yet, we all need these great young students. We're never going to survive EVs. We're never going to survive the new tech. We're never going to survive what GM just announced. We're never going to figure it all out if we don't teach the current technology and we don't start putting some really great, great young people who want to learn a skilled trade through this. Everybody's recruiting carpenters and plumbers and electricians. Just add us to the list of people that are looking for people who want to work with their hands. I'm sorry, I'm on my soapbox.
I tell people all the time, you know, and we've got a real you know, dealer versus aftermarket, and we're all competitors. You know, everybody competes and whatnot. And that's one of the beautiful things about ASC is because we get everybody in the industry to come together. OE, aftermarket, dealer, the retail chains, everybody else, because there are certain things that are critical about, you know, getting the vehicle fixed right the first time and having the skilled people to do that. You know, if you don't have a technician, you can't sell any parts. You can't run a business. You know, that's, they're the axle on which everything turns. So, and the problem is, you know, yeah, we've been poaching from each other back and forth down the street for all these years. Guess what? All these guys are retiring. Baby boomers, what, 10,000 people, 10,000 baby boomers retire every day. We're rapidly running out of technicians. And so who are we competing with? We're not competing with each other anymore. We're competing with welding. We're competing with HVAC, skilled machining, all these other trades. And the way I look at it is, if I help a student and he ends up working at the dealership down the street, well, maybe he works at the dealership for 2 or 3 years. Maybe then I get a chance to hire that student. But guess what? If that student leaves our industry and goes to work in HVAC or some other trade, you don't get him, I don't get him, and we're both behind. So, you know, we all came in different ships, but now we're all in the same boat together.
You know, the advocacy part you talked about is just so important. And I love having people from business and industry come in and visit. It's like they can come and visit the farm. They can check out what we're doing. They can talk to the students. And, you know, by the way, I can tell a student something about how business is over and over. It never kicks in, but yet one person, one tech comes in and says the same exact words to my student. And all of a sudden it's, well, how come you never told us that, Mr. Godson? Wow, we never knew that before. But advocacy really shouldn't really stop just at the automotive classroom or the advisory committee. Going and talking in front of school boards and principals is so important, because we live in a political system in the education world. And that system, right, has money and advocates that stretch much farther out than our little shops that we work in. And we need those people, right, noticing us and giving us support, or we tend to wither and die. Just, you know, again, sticking with that plant metaphor. So go to the school board and say, hey, you know, I've got ABC repair shop, and we've been looking for techs. We've been working with Mr. Smith, and he has just been the greatest teacher. We'd like to support that program, and we're here to let you know that we're ready to do that. Tell us how we can.
Hey, Carm here. And coming up, learn about the automotive instructor shortage, and if you are interested, how to start. Hey, did you know that Apex 2021 is designating a new area called Repair Shop HQ with you in mind? That's right. This one-stop destination is being designed to meet the product, equipment, and training needs of today's shop owners, managers, and technicians. As part of this edition, Joe's Garage, a simulated real-world shop environment with 8 bays, lifts, vehicles, and a service counter area, will feature the latest product and equipment demos. A new dedicated tire section, 3 training theaters, and a diagnostics and telematics area also will be part of Repair Shop HQ. And there's still more. The popular tool and equipment section and the mobile heat transfer heating air conditioning section will relocate to this new area. This immersive environment, located on Level 1 of the Sands Expo, will be ready and waiting for you November 2nd through the 4th in Las Vegas. Now, I hope to see you there. Visit AAPEXshow.com for details. I want to let you in on a little secret. Investing in a cloud-based shop management system could be the smartest purchase you make in 2021. Manual processes can really add up and cost your shop unnecessary time and money. Now, if you're writing out repair orders, you're wasting time. If you're chasing customers for approvals, you're wasting time. If you're manually calculating invoices or logging into multiple systems, you're wasting time. And if you're wasting time, well, then you're wasting money. Do me a favor, pull up Chrome, Safari, or whatever browser you use and type in getshopware.com. Click on the Book a Demo button in the upper right corner and check out Shopware's amazingly efficient software. Trust me, you won't regret it. Again, that's getshopware.com. That's getshopware.com. So, Mr. Godson, where are you getting your training from?
they need industry support to do that as well. And that's another thing that the independents can help with, or even the car dealers, to give us access to those training materials. I will have to put in a little plug that they have virtual vision coming up this year, and instructors have been given a free pass to that, which is just fantastic. I love that.
Oh, you're going to have a blast. We did a show with Sherry, and hell, the last time I was out anywhere with my studio, it was vision last year. I've been in dry dock for almost a year now. It's amazing. I am so glad to see that Milwaukee and Virtually Vision did that. And Mike, I hope you absorb, I don't know, of the 50 classes, almost all of them.
You know, as a teacher, I love learning new technology. I pride myself in staying up to date, as up to date as possible. And that's another way I think businesses can support us, is even just allowing me to come into your business and stay for a day to observe, right, to shadow, is a great thing. And I believe if I went to my school administrator and said I need to take a day to go visit the shops, they're going to say, hey, go for it, right? They're all behind us to do that. So. And I would encourage more instructors to try that as well.
Well, there's another thing to do. Put it on your to-do list. Shadow. So you pick up the phone, you call your college. Heck, don't even ask to join the board. It'll come. But just say, listen, I would love for your students, ooh, maybe even your instructors, to come. And why don't you bring a student and an instructor, come out and shadow us for a day. And we would love to show you what's going on. We would love to answer any questions. And we really want to show you all the real world. Number one, the student needs to see the real world, but the instructor, before they tell their students, hey, let me tell you what the real world is, according to what? Some kind of syllabus? Or is it the real world according to, hey, I was out at that shop the other day and you should have seen it ran like soft butter. The systems, the processes, I mean, the really good shops today, you're impressed. Just go in there. It's a happy, united family with all the tech in the world, with systems and processes in place. And I don't think you can run a business in what we do without good processes and systems. But Mike and Brian, you guys aren't teaching that. It would be like when I went to school, they never taught us how to be a good listener. We had the school of hard knocks had hit us over the head with that one day, didn't it?
Yeah, so true. We do a lot of that. And that's one of the number one things that most of our business partners are looking for, is a student who can, you know, the soft skills, show up on time, pay attention, listen, be off their cell phone, be open, willing to learn. And the technical skills, they say that's the easiest thing to teach them. It's, you know, showing up every day and giving it a try, giving it, you know, effort.
You're telling them that before they go out. And so hopefully they're absorbing that and they're aware of it. But they have to live it when they get there.
Absolutely. For a lot of them, it's it's the first time to be responsible. So it's difficult. And then the other thing is the way the students are learning is changing. You know, everything, the way we need to adapt, is constantly changing. Just because it's the way we've done things for so long doesn't mean that's the way we should keep doing them. You know, we need to be able to adapt with the times, and getting everybody on board with that, with education and business and industry, that's always a difficult thing.
And so it begs the question, here I'm an independent and I pick up the phone, Brian, and I call you and I say, what do you need?
Just opportunities for the students, caring, patience. We don't necessarily need, money, equipment.
Wait a minute, your school district is that rich? I mean, you've got anything you possibly need? I mean, the taxes go down and the equipment goes up. How does that work?
It's not always the case, but I mean, in my particular case, our particular case, we've been advocating very strongly for our program. We have a very strong advisory council, very good advocate. So our equipment, tools, technology, that stuff seems to stay pretty well up to date. It's the amount of opportunities when a student goes out, and, not every student's going to knock it out of the park. And that's what a lot of industry partners kind of struggle with. Oh, we had this kid, didn't really get involved. He just kind of sat there on his phone. Maybe they had the wrong mentor paired with him. you know, there's a lot of training that we try to do on our end with the students, with the technicians, mm-hmm. try to do mentor training, have technicians come into our school, you know, prepare them for what to expect.
You just said something huge, mentor training, and we can go on for a half hour on that, but we won't. But I have to tell you, you know, pairing up the right mentor is absolutely going to be key. Mike, I'm an independent. I pick up the phone and I say, hey, Mike Godson, what do you need?
We're running kind of a different sort of a model at Clark College. We try to align the student with the job first. So my question would be, well, do you have any jobs available for students? And again, I want them to start thinking a little longer term, because if they say yes, then you give them the pitch. Well, you know, we have students that are coming in that are interested, right? If we work with these students and screen them for you and have you interview them, will you hire them? And then we can train them together. I think that's the approach, a lasting way to engage an individual in a career and also help them develop along the way and give them a really good start. So it's more of an apprenticeship style. Not a lot of schools are doing that. But for us, it's been very effective. It's really time intensive up front because you have to spend a lot of time recruiting. But other than that, once you get somebody in a position, they have a much better chance of staying long term.
Mike, is your budget to the point where you guys don't lack for anything, like the latest scan tools?
We can always use more budget. But you know, for some reason, that's just seems a little less important where we are. I'm not in the situation that Brian's in, but we've been noticing there has been more money coming from the state. And then we've also had some pretty good advocates that have been working with our school administration saying, look, you guys really need to work on auto and building them up. So well, we've been fortunate there, but not all the schools are like that.
I need to ask you how ASE Education Foundation integrates with the school, what you guys do to bring ASE to the students.
What the foundation does is we go to the industry and we say, what should an entry-level technician know? What should they be able to do? In the industry, we make a real detailed list. And we say, and then what are the tools that you need to teach that? And what kind of curriculum do you need to teach that? And then we put together basically what are standards. And the standards cover everything, not just what needs to be taught and the tools you need to teach it, but also, are your instructors qualified? Do they have the right experience? Do they have ASE certifications? Do you have an adequate budget? Do you have a plan? Do the students have career opportunities? So looking at the program top to bottom so that, you know, we talk about these are your taxpayer dollars at work a lot of times if you're a business person in the community. But think about it from the student's point of view or the parent of that student's point of view. That young person is investing 2 or 3 or 4 years of their life that they're not going to be able to get back. And so we owe them the very best that we can do in terms of preparing them for a career in this industry. You know, maybe they're just doing exploration at the beginning, but if we do a good sales job, there are certain students where the light bulb turns on and they're like, boy, I really love doing this and I can make money doing it. And I got great people to work with and a great environment, you know, and it all comes together for them. And that's, I think, what we're all shooting for in all this. So the foundation provides those standards. Schools measure themselves against those standards. We actually send evaluation teams to go out and verify that the schools meet those standards. When they do, they become accredited. And then just like certification, they have to renew every 5 years. And it's not about perfection. And you never reach that point. You're always continuously looking to improve your program, make it a little bit better and a little bit better. Again, always with the student success in mind.
Mike, thank you for outlining that. I don't think enough in our industry realize that the schools need to be accredited every 5 years that are part of the... Does every school have to participate in this program?
It's like ASE certification. Most places, it's voluntary. And there are some states where it's required or strongly incentivized. But primarily, it's driven by the industry and people in the industry working with educators saying, we want to have the very best educational program that we can have. And then the standards basically give you a template to work with.
I want to teach. I've been turning wrenches for 20 years, and now I want to teach. Can you hire me, or do I need to go out and get a certification as a teacher?
Definitely. You can. That's how I started. You came right out of industry. Didn't go to school to become a teacher and then teach automotive. It was the trade experience. And one of the things with career and technical education, I know New York and Vermont, some of the surrounding states, and I'm sure it's in most places, you don't need this, you know, master's doctorate in teaching. So you get a transitional certification. There's some trade specific, career and technical training specific courses to take, 8 classes or so, and then you can get your training certificate, your teaching certificate from New York State.
Does it depend on the kind of degree? I mean, you say I had an AAS, do I have to have a master's degree? Or if it was an AOS, I'm sorry to throw all these acronyms around, everyone, but does that matter?
No. So New York State, they've got multiple pathways, whether you have all trade experience, you know, 20 years, you have, you know, 20 years essentially of on the job training, or if you went to some post-secondary program for a trade specific degree, whether it's an AOS, AAS, whatever it was, a 4-year degree in business management, whatever it is. And this is for most CTE courses. So it's definitely knowing that that's where some of the best instructors are going to be, the ones that have that field experience.
Mike, any restrictions in Washington?
Washington State has is pretty much the same sort of system. They're looking for people that have broad field experience first. On our campus, you have to have an associate degree, but usually that's pretty achievable, even if you need to start later in life. I came in the same way Brian did. Out of industry, I worked 18 years, and actually my former instructor would come around and visit. And one year he comes around and he says, "Hey, how you ever thought about teaching?" And I said, "Yeah, well, and I've worked with some people before in the shop. I was kind of a mentor." I said, "Yeah, I thought about it." I said, "What do I need to do?" So he started outlining the things, and it was get involved at the college, maybe work with the advisory committee. And then the biggest thing I did was I started teaching night classes part-time. Mm-hmm. And that is a great segue because you can work on some of your skills. And then when a job comes open, right, then you're all set to do that. And I'll tell you, I've been involved with all kinds of recruiting on our campus for all the disciplines. And the CTE, you know, in English and math, you might have 100 applicants for one job. And in the CTE areas, you're jackpot lucky to get a half a dozen. So you usually have to wait for those positions to come up, but usually they're there if you really put in the work to prepare yourself.
And you know what some of the colleges do? They actually put an ad out and they say, "We're looking for an adjunct position." And a technician reads that and says, "I don't know what the hell that is, but it's sure not me." And why don't they just say the words part-time?
You know, we talk a lot about the technician shortage, but frankly, and to Mike Godson's point, there's even a greater instructor shortage. So, you know, God forbid Mike Godson decides, you know, he needs to retire. To his point, there's not a lot of people who are jumping up to take his place. So that impacts that program's ability to stay and not become, a CAD CAM unit or, you know, another occupation. So one of the things that the industry needs to think about is how do we support the programs and young instructors, just like we support young technicians.
Boy, what a great point. One of the things that I discovered sitting on our advisory panel at the college that I'm with is the advisory board can really sway administration. And when you invite them to come in and meet these, if you will, industry leaders and hear the intelligent discussion that's going on, they start throwing money at your program. I'm telling you, as tight as COVID and as tight as all these budgets are, and I get that, okay, it was a really, really tough year. But a few years back, we got some money to do some things with. Number one, we proved to them the shortage. Number two, you know, we had enough students going through the program, but they looked at automotive as never going away. All of a sudden, recession-proof, pandemic-proof. I guess the point of this podcast with ASE Education Foundation and our two instructors and Trish is to try to impress upon the industry to get involved, period. I mean, that's it. I don't care. I mean, you could say to whatever degree, but make the phone call, stop in, invite people over. Our school needed some TVs up on the walls because they wanted to do some stuff. Someone stepped to the plate and bought them all. What didn't we cover that you wanted to speak to, everyone?
Speaking for the instructors, and I don't necessarily represent all of them, instructors that come out of industry, we generally don't make as much money starting out, and we're really involved with wanting to help the student. We all want to do better, and we need to work together to get the job done. And I will go into any business owner and just straight up say, you know, I know we may not have done a good enough job in the past, but I want to do better. Let's do it together. Tell me how I can do that. And I think if you just go out there and put yourself out there that way, good things will happen. Good things will happen for business people that do that, and good things will happen for educators that do that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's you know, it's a great point Mike has. Just being involved. It is a two-way street. You need to be out there. You need to be communicating, being seen, you know, with your students, and just asking them, hey, if it wasn't a great success this time, please try again soon. You know, come back to us, visit us again, because the next student may be your home run. So,
well, Mike Hawley, you got an important job at ASE. Any final words?
Well, I just want to put in a plug for our website. If you can remember all this, www.aseeducationfoundation.org. I know it's a mouthful, but come on over there and click on Find a Program. There's a button at the top of the screen, and you put in your zip code, and poof, here's a list of all the schools in your area, and there's a contact name, and there's a contact phone number, and there's an address. Get in your car and go over there, I guess today, call them and Zoom with them or something, and, you know, it's not hard to find a school. It just takes a few minutes of time. And get involved. And I think, you tell me, Carm, the shop owners that take the time to get involved, it goes both ways. You only get out of it what you put into it. But those who take the time and put something into it, generally they get back more than what they put in. So I think it's a worthwhile investment for any business owner who's investing in his business. Investing in your local school is investing in your business.
Well, great, great point, Mike. I will put that address, that web address, on the show notes page on the website when the episode is released. So if anybody could bump into that and go there. But yeah, I mean, I did not know that existed. So I learned something new. And I will start talking about this all the time. You want to get involved, go to aseeducationalfoundation.org and click on the Find a Program button. That's an easy button. Trish, I'll give you the last word.
ASE and the ASE Education Foundation want to be your solution. You know, we want to help you find the people you need to get them into the programs, get them graduated, and get them working. And the only way that works is if we work together. So we're here for you.
So thank you all. Mike Godson, Professor Clark College in Vancouver, Washington. Brian LaCroix, instructor at the BOCES in Albany, New York. Of course, Trish Sheratore and Mike Colley. Thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carm.
Thanks,
Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.